Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, May 26th of 2021. And I have to say, it's hard to believe that it is already May 26th. Where did the time go? Tell you, all it does is just go by quicker and quicker, it seems like. Obviously, in the winter, when you're in like the middle of winter, it doesn't go by quite as fast if you're in the middle of winter or something. But when you're getting to summer or near summer, that's when it really starts to go by rather quickly. It's good to have you with us wherever you're tuning in. However, whether you're tuning in on a laptop, a desktop, your phone, your iPad, maybe you're using one of those Blackberries. Those things went extinct kind of quickly. Someone I knew of used to call the Blackberry a blueberry. It wasn't, of course, it was a joke because obviously the Blackberry phone, I don't even know why it was called a Blackberry to begin with. I actually had one myself for not very long. We got rid of it because we ended up giving it to someone because it was not working well for me because there were other buttons in that, different like a regular cell phone, and it didn't talk to me. Unlike the iPhones, all the iPhones since the iPhone 4 all talk. All iPhones after the iPhone 4, including the iPhone 4S, which was my first true smartphone. The reason I have to say true is because the BlackBerry didn't work out so well. Had a few flip phones. And by the way, Rachel, have you noticed the last few years, flip phones are kind of making a comeback. Though not quite to what they once were. I don't think they ever will either. I'm sure for some of these people, they're collectors. Maybe they're people who really, truly enjoyed using them. Like for me, listeners, for me, like on the flip phones, you couldn't go online. I couldn't go online with those things because it didn't talk to me enough to be able to do that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, we're just so glad that you're tuned in, whatever device it's on, whatever device you're on, and it's going to be a good show tonight. I told you that I was going to talk about Memorial Day a little bit tonight, and I... doesn't look like I'll be doing a show on Memorial Day itself. But tonight I figured I'd take a few minutes and kind of talk about what is Memorial Day truly about? What's the real history of it? All right. So Memorial Day have been observed in previous forms, in other forms since the Civil War. since just after the Civil War. In 1868, they decided they wanted a day to remember those who had died in the Civil War. May 30th was the date that was chosen. May 30th would continue to be used for many years, all the way up to the 1960s. And it was just a day of remembrance at the time. First, it was for those who died of the Civil War. Later, over time, during World War I, it was decided that they would make it to be about all wars, all those who died in war fighting for America, not just to be the Civil War so then fast forward to 1968, Congress and the Senate passed the Uniform Mondays Act, which called for more three-day holiday weekends to allow for more time off for federal employees. What this did in the case of Memorial Day was it meant that instead of it being on May 30th, it would then be the final Monday in May. The other thing it changed is that it made it a federal holiday, which it is to this day. It has been a federal holiday ever since that time. People will celebrate Memorial Day through parades, through going and seeing the different grave sites of those who have died in wars. Of course, like I said, the parades, remember them, they'll wear poppies, which is a tradition of its own. And on the first Memorial Day observance, 5,000 people gathered to decorate 20,000 flowers near at cemeteries near grave sites of those who died in wars. On a bit less of a somber note, of course, people use Memorial Day weekend as the unofficial kickoff of summer vacations, trips to the beach, and the like. Those of us here in Michigan, the first couple days of the weekend, we likely will not be doing that the first couple days of the weekend because it's going to be chilly outside. Oh, I know, right? Yep. I wish whatever that cold front was, that silly vortex thing, would just go hide itself way up in Canada. I wish. But sometimes, and usually, if Memorial Day is on the 31st, usually it's almost a safe bet that that weekend's going to be a warm weekend. Not completely this time. I wasn't going to say not at all. That's why I said not completely. Monday could still be saved, but other than that, not so much. So ultimately what you see here is the holiday Memorial Day. The purpose of it, of course, is to remember those who died, gave up their life, sacrificed for our country so that we could stay a free country, so we could be united, not be a divided country. And so every year at 3 p.m. is when the moment of silence is observed to honor those who died in that war. I'm sorry about that. I was just checking my clock real quick. That's all that was about when you heard my phone go off. That's all that was about. That's all that was about. But anyhow, so the holiday, Memorial Day, it's not just about, you know, the start of summer, the grill, you know, whatever you choose to grill. Obviously, if you want to get together with family, that's always a good thing. But ultimately, it's in remembrance of those who gave their life for this country. And it can be too easy for people to just lose track. But just take a second even and just remember what it's about. And this would be a perfect time, listeners, to be praying over this country, that it would stay a free nation. Because with what's been going on in the last 14 months, many of these people who died for our country, they would be rolling over in their graves right now. And in case you listeners wonder, when I make that statement, they're rolling in their graves, I'm not joking for the least bit. And so we just have to pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for those who are in government. And anything that would stand in the way of a free America, the plans of the wicked, that they would be brought to naught and confused, and that they would just be gone, powerless, not on the Memorial weekend. I will add, too, that originally it was called Decoration Day because it was when they would decorate the cemeteries of those who died. Decoration Day, to me, though, honestly, Decoration Day sounds more like the day where you put your Christmas lights up, put up that Christmas tree, like the giant ones that you see, like in the cities or in the big malls and what have you that decorate around the holidays. I think Memorial Day is a more fitting name because is it just me, or do you, does Decoration Day sound more like something you do around Christmas when you're getting ready to decorate? That's literally what it sounds like to me. Other holidays. And by the way, the only reason I even brought up Christmas or anything like that. Because right now, of course, we're in the middle of the year. Of course, if it was Christmas in July, that'd be different. But we're not even there yet. I will say that, of course, the first day that this radio show aired, listeners, those of you who have been on since day one would note this, that this show actually launched on Christmas in July. So July 25th, 2017, which is obviously the same day, like I said, as Christmas in July. And it is a significant day as it relates to this show. And in honor of it, there may or may not be a Christmas Carol on the show closest to that, in honor of that. And when I look at, the calendar, 25th is a Sunday, so 26th, yep, that'll be our four-year anniversary, one day late, though. And, of course, that'll be awesome. Yes, it will. And so, but like I said, that's what Memorial Day is about. It's about remembering those who died. Now around here, for the second year in a row, that Memorial Day parade will not be happening. It got done in by Corona. I feel like if it was even 1 or 2 weeks later, they wouldn't have canceled it. But they did. Another thing I want to remind you of, this is about a little over a month away, but I want to make sure you know about this ahead of time. Between the 28th of June and the 11th of July, the 29th of June and the 11th of July, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in Kentucky and Tennessee. We're going to see my brother, not once, but twice. And then we're going to go to Tennessee in the middle. There will still be shows. At least one per week, at least. But the week of the 4th, right after the 4th, so like between like the 5th and the 11th, that week, I know Monday to Wednesday there, I'll be in Chattanooga. So I'll be doing at least one of them there, maybe two. I'm going to try to find a way to do it outside, maybe at Coolidge Park, one of the big parks down there, or something like that. Or I might just do it from my hotel room. I don't know. We're going to work on that. That first week, though, Monday will be one. Tuesday, probably not, because we'll be driving, possibly Wednesday. There will be shows. I'm not going 2 weeks no broadcast. There's going to be at least 1 week, one way or the other. And I'm looking forward to it. By then, it's my hope that not just here in Michigan, but across America, by the time we get to around that 4th of July time, we'll be a bit more open, a bit less masks than what we even are now. Because, like I said a couple of days ago on the show, I really cut down on the mask use because requirements that we have now that involve those that are unvaccinated, they can't ask you whether or not you've had it. So just haven't been wearing the mask anywhere near as much, like 98% of the time that I was wearing it before. Of course, the only time I did wear it was in certain places, but like 95% of the time that I would wear it, now I don't. So, time to stand up. As for mask burning, soon. Got to do it with some, you know, find someone else who's going to do it. That way it's like a ceremony type thing, you know, like where they're all getting burnt. Because, like I said, I'm ready to be done with them. I thought I had a thing, and listeners, I thought I had a thing of those other, you know, those paper masks, the plastic masks, all those. I don't know if they all went missing or if I threw them all away. I hope I didn't throw them all away because then I'd only have one to burn. And the other I would still keep in my pocket just in case. Like even when I go south. But, like I said, I'm ready to let it go. So, that's just, you know, like I said, that's in a month. Periodically, I'll let you know from time to time just so you know. And if when I do the show, you're hearing Southern accents, you'll know why. Because not as much from my brother's house, but in Chattanooga, there are a lot of folk there that have a Southern accent. Speaking of Southern accent, it's kind of a interesting thing. Someone that I know that just, my staff had been in Tennessee 2.5 weeks ago, and she told me, I asked her if there were some locals there who were from there, had lived there like most of their life, that did not have that Southern accent. And by the way, this was Bristol, Tennessee, so right next to the border of Virginia, near very big mountains, I don't know if it's quite the same as Gatlinburg. I haven't been to Gatlinburg yet, but I wanted to. But Bristol, Tennessee, it was interesting. She said she remembered an 8-year-old that had the accent very strongly, and the kid was so cute. But at the same time, there were some, a couple, either 20-somethings or 30-somethings or something, some adults who had lived there their whole life and did not have the Southern accent. So it's actually very interesting as to why is it that some of these people who are only 8 years old have it. Others of these people, 20-something, 30-something, live there their whole life, don't have it. Chances are, if they live there their whole life, if they don't have it by 30, chances are by 60 they will. Don't you think? I would think. Wouldn't you? Because I feel like over time it can develop. And even in the time that I was down there for surgeries, I didn't necessarily develop a Southern accent. I wish. But, you know, at the, and I think that thing is charming, but I'm going to leave that alone for now, because then that'll just make me want to be there sooner. But I'm ready to go, you know, when that time comes. A couple of real quick show things. I want to encourage you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. Rivers of Miracles is the story of my life, the miracles that Jesus did in my life between when I was born and age 30. And it's a very good read. And once you read it, you'll have a greater understanding of everything that happened with me. And not just that, but you'll have a greater understanding of the miracles that God can do. And we're believing God to sell as many of these books as possible, because we want to see people read this book. We want to see lives changed. Amen. The other thing I want to mention to you listeners is our PayPal. You can go online to PayPal.com in order to sow seed in this miracle program. If you can go online to PayPal.com, in the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. That's Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. And I pray over your seed, and all the seed goes back into the program. It just keeps this going. Amen. And we're believing God that more and more people will tune in to this great program. Amen. The verse I want to give you tonight is where it says, therefore my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. And it's good to know that we serve a God who supplies all of our needs. course, Jehovah Rapha is our healer. Jehovah Jireh is the provider, our provider. And it's a great thing. Amen. We're going to sing. A few songs, and then we're going to the word of the Lord for this evening. In the secret and the quiet place. Pressing onward. Pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, because I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way. Because I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. Yes, Lord. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. Mm-hmm. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. We see you high and lifted up, yeah, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Well, we see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. to see you. We see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in you. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in you. Though the lions roar, though my enemies raise against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. No, it's not by might. No, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in you. Though the battles are, though the storms rage against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. No, I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will not give in. No, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take me past the outer court, into the holy place, past the blazing altar. Lord, I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, a place to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me past the outer court into a holy place, past the blazing altar. Lord, I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the place to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Let's do that again. Take me past the outer court into the holy place, past the blazing altar. Lord, I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the place to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me in. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is upon our life. It's great to serve you, Lord Jesus. great to know, Lord God, that you are on our side. It's great to know that you are fighting for us. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light, the life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are ministering to every one of us right now. I thank you, Lord God, for everything you have done in us, everything you're doing in us right now, everything you're going to do in us. I just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And I just thank you, Lord God, for this word, as we are about to open up your holy word and study it for a few moments. And I just pray that as we study it, you'll reveal things to us. And I just thank you, Lord God, for your holy word. Thank you for your presence, that you're moving in us. And Lord God, I pray that you would stop every plan of the wicked, that whatever they're planning behind closed doors, that you bring that to naught right now in your name, Jesus. Amen. And I make my confession over this program, Lord God. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, and most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to this radio to the kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Let's make our confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 1. I don't know why we couldn't find 1 Samuel, but couldn't find it. So we are going to look at the first couple of chapters of 2 Samuel tonight, and continuing on from there. So 2 Samuel 1. We're going to begin with verse 1. By the way, listeners, you at home, whatever I do for the next little bit, you follow along. Don't just sit there and spectate. Be a part. Amen. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and the dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked, "Tell me." He said, "The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died. And Saul and his son Jonathan are dead also." Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," the young man said, "and there was Saul leaning on his spear, and the chariots and riders almost upon him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me. And I said, 'What can I do?' He asked me, 'Who are you?' "An Amalekite,' I answered. Then he said to me, 'Stand over me and kill me. I am in the throes of death, but I am still alive.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and brought them behind to my lord. Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who brought him the report, 'Where are you from?' 'I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite,' he answered. David answered him, 'Why were you not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?' Then David called one of his men and said, 'Go, strike them down.' So he struck them down and he died. And David had said to him, 'Your blood will be on your own head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed.'" Verse 17, David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan and ordered that the men of Judah be taught this lament of the bow. It is written in the book of Jamar, "Your glory, O Israel, slain on your heart. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. O mountains of Gilboa, may have never dew nor rain, neither dew nor rain, nor fields that yield offerings of grain," in parentheses. And there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, and bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, they were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery, who adorned your garments and ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your hearts. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. Chapter 2. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Hanoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each of his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead. And the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Verse 8. Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Ashuri and Jezreel, and also over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Hebron. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pole of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pole, and one group was on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us." "All right, let them do it," Joab said. So they stood up and were counted off. 12 men for Benjamin and Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Helkath Hazurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated by David's men. The three sons of Zeruiah were Joab, Abishai, and Asel. Now Asel was as fleet-footed as a wild gazelle. He chased Abner, turning neither to the right nor to the left as he pursued him. Abner looked behind him and asked, "Is that you, Asel?" "It is," he answered. Then Abner said to him, "Turn aside to the right or to the left. Take on one of the young men and strip him of his weapons." But Asel would not stop chasing him. Again, Abner warned Asahel, "Stop chasing me. Why should I strike you down? How could I look your brother Joab in the face?" But Asahel refused to give up the pursuit. So Abner thrust the butt of a spear into Asahel's stomach, and the spear came out through his back. He fell there and died on the spot. And every man stopped when he came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And as the sun was setting, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gia on the way to the wasteland of Gibeon. Then the men of Benjamin rallied behind Abner, and they formed themselves into a group and took their stand on top of a hill. Abner called out to Joab, "The sword devour forever. Don't you realize that this very end, don't you realize that this will end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing with the brothers?" Joab answered, "As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued the pursuit of their brothers until morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men came to a halt, and they no longer pursued Israel, nor did they fight anymore. All that night, Abner and his men marched through the Arabah, and they crossed the Jordan, continued through the whole Bethron, and came to Mahanaim. Joab returned from pursuing Abner and assembled all his men. Beside Asal, 19 of David's men were found missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjamites who were with Abner. They took Asal and buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. And then Joab and his men marched all night and arrived at Hebron by daybreak. So what you see here is Saul had died. Saul and Jonathan had both died. They were in battle with the Amalekites. And like I said, Saul and his son both had died. And David and his group even made a tribute to Saul and Jonathan. And he admitted that Jonathan was his best friend, even more so than a woman could be. He was truly his best friend. And so David was mourning about it, as one would expect. He was mourning. Now Saul, he had made many mistakes in his kingship, and had it was even seen lying to God. He did end up on Israel's side, though. And but then, as we read tonight, David then became king. And there was war again between David and the Amalekites. And this time was involved. Abner was on the side of Saul. And part of that whole clan, he was with Saul. And one of Joab's brothers was even trying to chase Abner. But then Abner takes the sword of one of Joab's brothers and kills him right there on the spot, right as he's trying to chase him. Now, David had been king of that land for 7 years and 6 months. As we read in chapter 2. And some of you may say, some people may wonder, you know, was David perfect? No. But he's obviously one of our true Bible heroes. David fought the lion, fought the bear, and won. And he also fought Goliath and won. And he was one of the true valiant fighters that you find in your Bible. And he proved how to win battles. And he trusted in the Lord to help him win. And all of those different cases. And even then, even though 19 of Abner's men went missing, 19 of David's men went missing, he killed 360 plus of the other guy's men. And like I said, David was such a man of character. And he was not the type to just give up the fight. He was a great character that you have in your Bible. David was. But Saul, while he was king, he was a mess. He did not listen to the instructions of God. He had been told, kill all of these Amalekites. Not just the bad. Take them all out, including the flocks and herds and everything else. Saul goes as far as to lie and the Lord could hear it. And Samuel asks Saul, what's that bleeding I hear? Because Saul even said, well, I did everything the Lord asked me to do. I did it all. Even though he was lying about it. And then he admitted that he had sinned and asked for forgiveness. Samuel was not happy about it. Eventually, the Lord even said, I repent that I made Saul king. As if like wishing that he hadn't made Saul king. And and of course, the Israelites, as we know, as we had read weeks ago, they were begging Samuel to let them have a king. They were begging him. Can we have a cake? Please. Just let us have one. You know, what do we have to do to have one? So Saul ended up being appointed king. But then Saul died much later on, as we read tonight. Now, I want to ask you listeners something tonight. So, listeners, do you know where you would spend eternity? It is appointed unto man once to die. I will also add that we are in the last of the last days. Jesus could come any time now. But he'll come at an hour that we don't expect him. The truth of the matter is, you will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. It's your choice. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Where will you end up? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Listeners, think about it. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? In order to make heaven, you have to be born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. It's one of the requirements. If you're not born again, you can give your life to him right now. Another thing you have to ask yourself. Is, if you know him, are you living for him? Fully. Are you living for Jesus? Or are you just, have you walked away from him? Or have you not necessarily walked away from him, but just, you know, you could be closer with him. You're not quite as hot for God as you once were. I had felt in my spirit that I was to give a call for salvation. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you feel the need to rededicate your life to Christ, it's very easy to give your life to Jesus. It only takes 15 seconds. It's painless. It costs you no money. Listeners, if you're listening, I want you to say this. Whether you are giving your life to Jesus for the first time, recommitting, or you are perfectly right with God, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to dwell inside of my heart. Change me. Fill me, Jesus. I ask you, Jesus, to make me new. I thank you, Jesus, that you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I thank you, Lord God. You are on my side. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord When I commit my life to you, Jesus, I will never be the same. I will live for you with everything I have. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, for those of you who gave your life to Jesus for the first time, the angels in heaven are celebrating. For those of you who rededicated your life to Jesus, the angels in heaven are celebrating. And for those of you who prayed the prayer because I said pray it, well, it feels as good this time as it did the first time. Amen. As we know, the Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And it brings peace to know that. That brings peace. Brings peace to know. Brings peace to know that you're saved. And the reason I gave the call for salvation tonight is because I want to see you listeners all make heaven. I really do. And I don't want blood on my hands when I give my account to Jesus. And he says, Rivers, where are those souls, these certain souls that I told you to win for me? Where are they? When I say, they're not here, I don't want that to be the case. Because the only thing we can take with us to heaven is people, 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 people. And if you're wondering, no, your mosque, however you say it, your mosque, it will not go to heaven with you. There won't be any mosques in heaven. You won't need it. You won't need them. Because there's no need for them up there. Well, what about my dog? What about my cat? They don't have a soul. But amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word in our hearts tonight, that we would just live for you, Lord God. And I thank you that you're going with us as we carry on through the rest of this week. I pray that this would continue to be a Psalm 1 week, Lord God, that whatever we put our hands to prospers, and that we are blessed going in and blessed going out. I pray Psalm 91 over us over this holiday weekend, Lord God. I thank you that no plague shall come nigh us or our dwelling. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness or disease, no COVID, no terrorists. None of this evil stuff comes near us, our loved ones, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Amen. All right. I sure love you. Amen. And I will see you all next time. God first, God all, God first, God always. So long, everybody.